Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Deary. The gospel brings impact and wholeness to all dimensions of the human life and experience. Because of the gospel, we're fully exposed to the righteousness of God through faith. In today's message, we're going to focus on the necessity of faith in accessing the power of the gospel. Listen in, take notes, and I'll talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
It's God's ability to change you. It's God's ability to transform you. And his gospel, this good news of Jesus, this good news that he has brought to us, we have to understand how good the news is. You got to understand how good the news really is. Some of us haven't connected how good the news is. Oh, it ain't a sitcom that you're going to have a few laughs with. It's not a drama movie that you're going to enjoy and put away. It's none of that. It's everlasting life. Beginning at the moment you say yes. Hallelujah. I'm already living my eternal life. My eternal life won't start when I get to heaven. I'm already there. My spirit is already in the heavenly places with God. Amen. It ain't going to start later. It started already. October 1986, it started. And it ain't let up yet. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, God is a good God. If you can, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to do my best with this, but I'll tell you what, I'm in a funny place right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, for I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Oh, we start right there. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my story. I'm not ashamed of what God has done in my life. I'm not ashamed of this gospel that he's used to bring it to pass. Man, oh man, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. This gospel has power in it. And sometimes we don't understand what the gospel is, and I'm going to explain it to the best of my ability today. But this gospel has the power of God. Not human power, but the power of God. God's power is in his gospel. His power is in this good news. To do what? To bring salvation to those who could not save themselves. It is the power of God, for it is the power of God, for it is the power of God, for it is the power of God to salvation. Yes. 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 To salvation. For the Jews, those that were born with a covenant of God, and for the Greeks, those that were not. Tell your neighbor, say, you were not. But yet you is. Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know it's the power of God in my life. I know it is what brought me salvation. I know that. And salvation did not mean that I get to go to heaven. Unfortunately, that's what I used to believe. I used to believe that the gospel was for me to get a ticket to heaven. Therefore, I want to postpone that long as possible. I don't want to buy a ticket now. Why buy a ticket now when I got all this time to wait? Because I just need to get it just before I go to heaven. But then life hit me and I became an atheist. And I said, I don't need a ticket because there ain't nowhere to go. But then God showed up. God just showed up and said, here I am. What you going to do now? Wow. So So I had to come face to face with this gospel, the gospel of Christ. It comes for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, what changed in me was God allowed my faith to be turned. See, everybody's born with a measure of faith. The measure you have is all you get. You only get a measure of faith. Your faith is not going to grow. The measure you have is the measure you have. What changes is not the measure of your faith. What changes is what you have faith in. You're not getting no more faith. When they would say, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, then you would say, it ain't how much faith you got. It's what you believe in. If you believe in Santa Claus, so be it. But if you believe in Jesus, then you need to know what that means. Amen. 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 You don't get no more faith. What you got is what you got. What you have is what you have. It's a matter of what do you believe in. That's why the word is so important in our lives, because sometimes we think we need more. I'm just getting more faith. You're not getting no more faith. If Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, then guess what? That's all you need. You don't need more. You need it put in the right place. Hallelujah. Listen to this. We're going to go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. I want you to notice something. You tell me what you notice when I finish what I'm getting ready to say here. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. You can look at it on the screen. Make a note, but then look at the screen, because I'm going to move through a couple of passages really quickly here. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by what?
Faith.
His faith. We're going to turn to Galatians 3 and 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by
faith.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by
faith.
But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What is the common thread through these four verses? The just are going to live by their faith. If you're going to live by your faith, then you better know what it is to have faith. You better understand what it means to have faith. You better understand how much faith you really have. Because I'll tell you what, the devil's trying to persuade you that you don't have enough. I learned this thing about elephants in the zoo. And when they get a little young elephant, they tie a rope around his ankle and they tie him to a stake. And when he's small, he's not big enough to move the stake. And so the rope becomes a symbol for him of his boundaries. And so he goes as far as he can. The rope tugs on him. He can't pull the rope out. And so he just goes to that line. As he grows, they leave the rope on him. But eventually they untie the rope. And you know what the elephant does? Elephant feels the rope and knows his boundaries. They can't put a stake in the ground big enough to hold him. But because of his conditioning, he has an imaginary boundary that was set for him by someone who wanted to control him. See, you're born with a measure of faith. You're born with power to move mountains. You're born with the ability to believe tremendous things about yourself, about things around you. You're born with faith. Little kids move in faith all the time. When I was a little boy, I used to jump off the garage into the backyard. I would climb up the ladder. We'd climb up there. We'd play around. We would find trees with dogs barking. But if there's fruit on a tree, we will take tightrope on top of a 2x4 to a tree. Courage. I don't care. The dog's barking. I ain't falling down there. I don't care. There are plums on that tree, and I'm going to get them. No fear. Why? Because I had faith. I didn't see all the problems around me. I didn't see all that stuff. I had unabashed faith. I was born with it. You were born with it. But sin conditioned you to boundaries. Sin conditions you to boundaries. We think when we say, study the word, that the word gives you boundaries. The word doesn't. The word actually liberates your mind. The word actually liberates you. It shows you what you should and shouldn't do, because certain things that you do end up causing you to sin, which actually create the boundaries around you. So the book of Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart come the issues. The Hebrew word is the boundaries of your life. In your heart is where the boundaries are. But the world has persuaded us that it's the Bible that's limiting you. The Bible sets you free. I thought I was free when I was about to do a stupid act and go to prison. I was free. So I thought. Except I was bound by my anger. See, we think sin is liberating. It's limiting. It steals from us. It takes from us. And we don't identify it. But the just have to live by their faith. But the just have to figure out how to use their faith. How do you take your faith and put it in the right place, in the right things, so that your faith actually propels you rather than limits you? We're going to look real quickly at, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You don't have to turn there, because I'm going to move quick. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul's telling the Corinthians people, he said, you keep seeing things, you're getting caught up in what you see, but you shouldn't move like that. Later on, he said, we knew Jesus in the flesh, but now we don't know him like that anymore, because now every man is in Christ is a new creation. Even if you look like the old creation. Tell your neighbor, say, you look old, but I think you're new. Now tell them, don't be offended. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh. Thank God for freedom, amen. Somebody think they can catch me because I got this cast on. I move faster than you think. I'm going to get him for that. No, you ain't going to catch me. Hallelujah. The just are going to live by their faith. But faith in what? Faith in what? What do you believe? What do you believe about yourself? See, some of us still look at ourselves and we are gauging ourselves by our chronological age. I'm too young to do this. I'm too old to do this. Guess what? Age don't mean anything. Age means nothing. There's a simple gospel. I want you to understand what the gospel is, and we'll go on to faith. Simple gospel means this. A message that clarifies four basic things. Simple message. Number one, everybody's born a sinner. Tell your neighbor, say, you look great. I was just playing about the old thing. But you were born a sinner. You're flawed by sin. You're born that way. You're born flawed by sin. But once you can get over that, then you can receive what God says about you next. Man in and of itself cannot deal with the problem of sin. You can't discipline yourself enough to escape sin, because all you do is translate it from one thing to the next. So when I had one problem, I stopped one problem and I started another. I flushed one thing down the toilet and I picked something else up. Why? Because I hadn't dealt with the sin issue. Once I dealt with the sin issue, then God set me free. Number three, God loves man enough to sacrifice himself in the form of Jesus for us, for mankind's redemption. Jesus has been given for our redemption. It's that simple. Now, this is important. Any man or woman that will receive Jesus, key word is receive, is restored to their rightful position as a son or daughter of God. If we can receive Jesus, then we are restored to position. What does that mean? That means that you get put back into position where you have the privilege of being able to talk to God directly, to listen to God, hear his voice, and then move with God wherever he says to move. You're restored to position. Now, that's a simple gospel. Can we receive that? Can we receive the fact that God desires, God loved us enough to give himself? Tell your neighbor, you look great today again. Tell your neighbor, you look great today again. But I don't know about sacrificing myself for you. Is that true or not true? It's reality. It's hard to sacrifice ourselves for others. It's hard to sacrifice ourselves for others that we love. That's why people get divorced. It's true. Let's be real about it. I love you, but I don't know if I'm ready to sacrifice for you. Let's be real. Amen? Man is flawed. You can't deal with the sin problem on your own. God loves us enough to sacrifice himself for us, for our redemption. And if we can receive it, we'll be restored to our rightful position as sons or daughters of God. Which gets into what we talked about last week, which is that the gospel comes to redeem us, not just spiritually, but emotionally as well. The gospel comes to set us free emotionally, because emotionally the enemy tries to bring a spirit of discontentment to our lives. Spirit of discontentment. What is the spirit of discontentment? The spirit of discontentment is that spirit that comes that even though everything's great around you, something from your past keeps stepping in and telling you how bad today really is. The sun is shining bright, except you know you had that sunburn back in the day. And the battle with your conversation starts on. You know it's a good day, but you can't enjoy the day because whatever was behind you keeps talking to you. Or even when people love on you, then you're still figuring out, well, what they want. Because somebody behind you took advantage of you. Or you sit around and you realize, I got the whole kingdom. Just like King David. I got the whole kingdom and I should be going out to war, but I'm going to stay home. And I got four wives already, but I'm looking over the wall, and there's one more out there. I'm not content with what I have. I'm looking out, and I'm going to try to take somebody else's. It's the spirit of discontentment, and it is attached to emotional wounds, emotional challenges, emotional barriers or boundaries that are in our lives, and it causes everything to just not taste good enough. No matter what you get. Because it's a spirit that has to be broken with the gospel. Amen. Amen. You got to take and apply the gospel to those emotions so that you can experience the freedom that God wants you to have. Because you can't be free and discontented at the same time. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm about to be free up in here. Yes, you are. The second thing is that you have relational things that need redemption. I told you, me and my father had it out, but later on in life, me and my father got to be friends. Because God's the healer. Because I needed God to first heal my emotions about my anger. And then once my anger was healed, then God was then able to then free me to then reestablish a relationship. And I remember the day when we had the breakthrough. I had to go to Los Angeles for a conference, and I went down there, and I called him. I said, Dad, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm going to come see you. And I went to the house, and we sat down, and we started talking, and my father started crying. And he started apologizing to me for all the things that went wrong when I was growing up. And he just sat there, and he cried, and he just talked to me and just poured everything out. And I just said, that's okay. I'm not holding it anymore because I got free. I wasn't waiting on it. See, if you're waiting, listen. If you're waiting on people to apologize to you, you're going to be in hell waiting. You know why? Because you got the power to forgive. Jesus told his disciples, he said, receive you the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit got to do with this? Because his next words were, whoever you forgive, I forgive. all this time, we've been thinking the Holy Spirit was given us to shout and have a good old time, when it was actually given to you so you'd have the power to forgive, so you could be free. Because there's nobody more free than somebody who can forgive somebody else. Because when you get in position to forgive someone else, it means you just elevated. It means it don't make a difference no more. I can forgive you because it doesn't matter. As long as it matters, you can't forgive. As long as it matters that you got to get even. As long as you matter, I got to hear them say they sorry for what they did to me. As long as you're there, you ain't never going to be free. You got to let God elevate you. Let his spirit breathe on you. Let his spirit give you freshness and raise you to a new level so you can say, I forgive you. When you can do that, you got the gospel. You understand what the gospel was for. Gospel's here to set you free, but not just free so you can go to heaven, because your eternal life began the moment you said yes to Jesus. That's when your eternal life began, at that moment. And so living with all the baggage and stuff the enemy wants to keep us on is not an option. Because you're turning your faith somewhere else. You're no longer going to believe in apologies, that you need to have an apology. You're going to believe in God's ability to set you free, even when you've been offended. Even when there are wounds there. Because you're going to say, Lord, I thank you that just like you healed my spirit to give me heaven, you're healing my emotions so I don't have to carry this baggage anymore. Hallelujah. So I can let it go. So I can move to the next level. So I can go on where God wants me to go. So I can be free, that I don't get hindered. That a root of bitterness doesn't sidetrack me. Because it does it to many. According to the book of James. Praise the Lord. Then comes physical. I realize my battle with this bone in my foot is not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle I've already won. Amen. So I just got to sit here with this cocoon long enough for the healing to take place. And that's all this is. This is a cocoon to let it take care of its business. So don't judge me when you look at it. The healing is working, amen? Because I found the thief. And I had to find the thief first. And once the thief was found and I put him in his place, then I let the healing flow, amen? Let the healing flow then from there. But we got to understand that things happen physically as a result of spiritual battles.
Yes.
That we're fighting.
Yes.
Nothing happens naturally unless it first happens spiritually. So that's why we have to be aware that the Spirit of God is trying to work in us freedom physically as well as spiritually. Amen?
Yes.
As much as you believe God for your salvation, you got to believe God for healing. You got to believe God for your wellness, your wholeness of spirit, of heart, of mind. You got to believe God for the same things just like you believed Him for your salvation. Because God is willing to do here on earth just like He is later on. All right. Salvation implies a couple of things. It's an idea of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness, wholeness. All those things are part of salvation. So when the Bible says that you are saved, it's talking about all the whole package of this. That you didn't just go to heaven. You're not just destined for heaven. Your eternal life is now. Tell your neighbor, say, my eternal life began when I said yes to Jesus. Come on, come on. That's why the just are going to live by their faith and not by what they see. Can't live by what you see. Turn to the book of Mark. And this one I actually want you to turn to. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 3. This is the parable of the sower. And I want you to listen close because this has an application to your faith I need you to grasp. If you don't grasp this application to your faith, then this message is a waste of time. I need you to grasp this. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, he sounds serious. We better grasp this one. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. I'm turning there now. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Now y'all learning all these little pastor tricks when the pastor keeps telling you different things while he's turning in his Bible. Amen? All right. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Listen. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and behold, it had no root, and it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And it yielded no crop. Verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Let me hear you say, sprang up,
sprang up.
Increased,
and produced.
Say it again. Sprang up. Increased.
And produced.
Amen. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right. If you got ears, you need to hear. If you got ears, you need to hear this. What does this represent? This parable of the sower, it's a couple things represented here. God is the sower. The seed is the word. It is the truth of God. It is the gospel, if you will. So you got God sowing. What is he sowing? He's sowing his word to who? Us. Who are we? We're the ground. Us and our faith are the ground. The ground has all the same elements in it. The ground is the same no matter where you go. The ground is the ground. The ground's got all the same minerals in it everywhere you go around the world. The ground is the same. What makes the difference between good ground and bad ground is the composition of the ground. It's not the makeup of the ground. The makeup is the same. Dirt is dirt. What's the difference is in the dirt is the composition of the dirt, how the dirt is arranged, how the dirt is there. All the same molecules are there. But certain ground is different. And it is on that different kind of ground that God is sowing his word. He's sowing this gospel. He's sowing this gospel that has the power of God in it. Because I'm not ashamed of it. Because why? It's got the power. The gospel has power. The gospel has a power to do mighty things. It has got power to save you eternally. It has power to heal your emotions. It has power to bring your relationships in the right order. It has the power to heal you physically and deal with your physical challenges and issues. It has all that power. The seed doesn't change. There's nothing wrong with the seeds. The challenge is where the seed lands. The challenge is us. The challenge is, have we figured out how to release ourselves to be good ground? How do we change ourselves to be good ground? Remember, you can't change the sin nature. You can't change that. You can't modify how the sin nature is. You can't change that. But what do you have power of? You have power with your faith. You have power to turn your faith in a direction. And to turn your faith in a direction makes you what kind of ground God's aiming for. Let's look at this. As a matter of fact, keep your finger there. Keep your finger there. I want to bring up Habakkuk chapter 2 again. Keep your finger there. Listen, listen, listen to this. I want you to listen close. Behold the who? The proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just is going to live by his faith. Number one problem when it comes to what kind of ground we are, if you're proud, you're not going to live by faith because you trust yourself too much. If you trust yourself so much that you're proud, you're ready to do everything on your own, then you're not going to live by faith. And guess what? That's going to make you hard ground. That's going to make you hard ground. That's going to make you wayside. Where the ground, no matter what the word is spoken, it can't get through because you're so proud of yourself, you can't let the word get in you and bear fruit. Tell your neighbor, say, I know somebody who likes that, who's like that. We're going to put pride under. We're going to put pride under because as long as you're proud, you're wayside. You're the seed, you're the soil where the seed can't break through because your pride is like iron. It's going to keep the word from coming into the heart. I've been there. I've been where God can't tell me nothing because my heart, I already know what I'm doing. I got this handle, God. I know what to do right now. I can take care of this. Guess what? And guess I was like iron. The word wasn't getting inside. And so the word can't become revelation. Because revelation can never exist where pride does. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Okay, let's read the rest of this. Let's look again. Mark chapter 4, go back there. Some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Some fell on stony ground. The first one fell on the wayside. The birds of the air came and snatched it up because it couldn't penetrate. This one, it penetrates, but it's not bearing any fruit. It can't bear any fruit because it doesn't have enough root in it. That is what we call a religious spirit. It's where the word is coming in and the word immediately springs, but it never gets to harvest time because religion keeps taking over. It never gets down deep enough to actually start. So we get the surface, but we don't get fruit. When I was a child, I went to a church. And I don't know if they bear fruit or not, but the people the closest around me I was exposed to, there was no fruit. There was no fruit. There was lots of religion, but there was no fruit. Why? Because fruit requires to get all the way to harvest, which requires a faith. And there were certain things we wouldn't receive because we believe, our religion says we can't believe that. We can't believe in the Holy Ghost. We can't believe the Holy Ghost. We can't believe the Holy Ghost. He's the power of God. He's there in the beginning with God. How can we not believe in the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is in evidence? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. He was there in the beginning. How are we not going to believe in him now? We don't need the Holy Ghost. The disciples had the Holy Ghost. We don't need the Holy Ghost. What? Where do you read that? Well, the Holy Spirit, he died with the apostles. What chapter and verse is that? Or is that religion talking? Is it religion talking? Religion becomes stony ground because it accommodates the word, but it can't bear fruit because it won't go deep enough. I've been religious before where I know something with my head, but I ain't got the revelation in my heart. And I needed God to break through that stony ground and take me to the next level to get in there. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, this is good stuff here. Verse 7. And some seed fell among thorns. Thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now later on he explains what the thorns are. The thorns are the cares of this life. The thorns become the things of life that start choking off the word. That when at one point we are into the word and we're studying to show ourselves approved. We're studying the word. We're praying daily. And then we get busy. And life starts taking over. I'm not talking about volunteering at the church. I'm talking about my personal, your personal, our personal devotion time. Time that we're spending with God. Letting God come inside and do the work. All of a sudden the enemy starts choking that time off from God. And here's the thing about God. God needs to be present to do the work. If he was present yesterday, but God left the building. You know how they say Elvis left the building? There ain't been no concert. Guess what? If God left the building, then we got a real problem. What we did yesterday has to be motioned together with what God is doing right now. We have to continually be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit continually be there. So that means we have to always keep carving that time and not let the world choke out our time with God. We got to make sure that we're in that position to always have that breathing time with God, that face time with God, that time that we're just honoring him with being present with us. Because if God's not present with us, we can't have all the things we want from God. Because faith requires that movement. It requires that connection. And if you believe anything's between you and God, then guess what? Your faith won't be in place. Last thing. Others fell on good ground, yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. God's desire is to have us spring up, increase, and produce. The way you're going to spring up, increase, and produce is only by your faith. Faith in what? Faith in the gospel. Faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith in the gospel that is making you whole. Faith in the word of the Lord that's going to bring about a change in our lives. The faith that God put in us is what God is making available to make change. The darkness in the world right now, and Pastor Foch spoke this, part of the darkness in the world right now is that the children of God are still speaking death. We're still speaking death. We're still speaking things. We haven't realized that God has given us a power to speak life. And because we're not speaking life, we're not releasing the power of God. Because you have a measure of faith that says that if you say to a mountain to move, it will move on your behalf. Turn to Hebrews. I'm going to read a whole bunch to you. And I hope you hear what I'm telling you. So far what we've talked about is this. We're going to Hebrews chapter 11. So far we talked about this. talked about the fact that there's a simple gospel. The gospel covers different areas of our lives, four distinct areas of our lives. But it has to be received. We receive everything by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin at verse 17. My question for you is, where is your faith? The disciples had somebody brought to them. Jesus had went away from them. And a man brought his child to the disciples and said, you guys with Jesus, I seen you guys healing people. I seen you guys doing all kinds of stuff. So I brought my child who has this palsy. I'm bringing my child to you, and I want you to pray for him. And I believe when you pray, he's going to get healed. Right. And so the disciples started praying. And they were screaming. They doing everything. They trying. They fighting, wrestling, trying to get this devil to come out. And they're trying. And they're going on and on and on. And they wore themselves out. And then Jesus showed up. And what's the problem? Master, we've been trying. We're trying. And he says, this kind doesn't come out except with prayer and fasting. And he said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? What was he saying to them? He was saying to them, you got power. 3 chapters ago, I sent you out with power. I sent you out 2 by 2 before my face, and you cast out demons, and you healed the sick. You did this already. Where is your faith? Where's your faith? That's the question for us. Where's our faith? Because see, what you did yesterday doesn't make a difference, because there's a new devil today. There's new problems today. There's a new demon today. There's new things today. There's new sickness, new disease, new problems, new issues, new things are coming. And what you did yesterday can only remind you about power you have. But if you don't activate the power today like you did yesterday, then that doesn't mean anything, because you can't use what you used yesterday. Profound wisdom. Profound wisdom from a Disney movie. The Lion King. The little monkey sitting there, and the guy's asked him a question. He hit him in the head. Hey, what are you doing? Hits him in the head. He said, what? Doesn't make a difference. Why? It's in the past. And so, you know what? What happened yesterday is in the past. Whatever happens yesterday is in the past. If you don't understand what happens yesterday is in the past and your faith is today, then you'll still live in the past. When I was a child, my mother and father got divorced. So my mother got remarried and she wanted to have a baby. And so I remember my mother was pregnant. She was all excited. And unfortunately, we were at a mall. And I remember I was with her and my mother had a miscarriage. And I still remember the whole feeling, the whole moment. I still remember it. And my mother had 2 more miscarriages. And then my mother got pregnant again. And my mother's 7 months pregnant, and she gives a birth to her little girl. And while the baby was still a baby, the baby died. And I remember the day that she died, because I remember the cloud that came over our house. I still remember it. I remember this thing that we can't talk about, we can't do nothing about, we don't have any power over it, but it's resting on our house. I still remember it. And it caused all of us problems, because there's this high hope, and then all of a sudden, and we all had to live with it, and we didn't know what to do with it. And my mother was going to church every week, but we still didn't know what to do. We still didn't know how to change it. And not only could we not change it, we couldn't even talk about it. Not because we didn't want to talk about it, but we didn't know what to talk about. We were powerless because this thing was resting on us. This thing. thing, this thing we can't get rid of. And then my mother got the Holy Spirit. And she still had to battle. But then all of a sudden the battle started turning and her desire got fulfilled. Because the word says, if you delight yourself in me, I will give to you the desires of your heart. And so my mother always wanted this daughter. But you know what happened? Is that she didn't get it the way she wanted to do it. She got it the way God authored it. And instead of having one daughter at my mother's funeral, it was all these women that were all my, telling me, oh, your mother, oh, she was my mother. Oh, your mother adopted me. Oh, your mother did this for me. All of a sudden, my mother's sadness was turned to joy. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord put her in a position of faith to not look back, but to look ahead to what God is bringing into her environment now. And instead of just telling everybody, oh, you know, this is what happened, my mother just started embracing young ladies and started embracing young ladies and started embracing them. Why? And God fulfilled her desire. Because her faith overwhelmed her emotion. Come on, you got problems in your life. You got some bad stuff that happened to you. You got things that's going on in your life. You got things that might be pressing on you right now. What I'm asking you to do is get your faith and let God bring your salvation to overcome. Let your salvation overcome your issues. Let your salvation overcome the problems. Let your salvation be the thing that goes ahead of you and starts to change how you look at the world. Because he's trying to set us free. And the world needs free people to help them in the situations they're in. The world needs free people to be able to say, war's over here, that's okay, God's with us. Problems over here, that's okay, God is with us. They need people to be able to have overcome so that we can minister to them. Because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach them everything I taught you. You can't preach the gospel till you live the gospel. And God wants you to live the gospel. He's not trying to make it a mystery to you so you can't get to it. God wants you to experience the victory so that you can minister the victory to others. You minister out of your victory. Let me tell you, you want to know how good this is? Listen to this. I want you to listen and receive it. Tell your neighbor, say, please receive this. Tell your neighbor, I don't think he's going to stop talking until you receive it. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And when he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Let me stop right there. All these, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all got this faith that all came from one man, Abraham, having faith toward God. One man's faith can move other people to action. Amen? But listen to this. Joseph had been taken a slave, sold by his brothers, imprisoned, and then raises up to a new position. But even in that position, when nothing is wrong with where they are, he tells the children of Israel, I see what's coming down the road, and you're going to leave this place. And when you leave, don't leave my bones here. Listen, he had so much faith that God was going to take them back to the land of promise. He said, I know you're going to go, and I'm not going to be here to see it, but I got enough faith that I'm telling you what to do with my bones when you leave. I got enough faith that I don't even see how we're going back, but I got enough faith to know we're going back. And because I know we're going back, I'm going to tell you what to do with my dead, rotted, dried out bones. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? Even if I don't know how I'm going to get there, I got enough faith to know I'm going there. Come on. I don't know how we're going to go there. I don't know how we're going to get there. I got enough faith to say, take my bones with you when you go. Come on. I need y'all to, y'all, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. That's for sure. Come on. By faith. Verse 23. Moses, when he was born. Listen. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. He was a baby. How is Moses going to have faith when he's a baby? Come on. He had a will to live. He had a will to live that affected his parents. They looked at him. They said, this baby got to live. Come on, man. Y'all don't understand what I'm telling you. It doesn't even make a difference. This baby had enough faith to survive. Oh, come on, y'all. The baby had enough faith to survive. Look at it. By faith, Moses, not Moses' parents. It doesn't say Moses' parents. It says by faith, Moses. Oh, Jesus, help me. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer with the affliction of his people, the people of God, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He was looking for what God had for him. Amen. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not die with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings, scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. And they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And Christians in 2017 have the nerve cry and to whine about our circumstances and our situations. We have the nerve all because we're not activating our faith. Yes. All because we're not activating our faith. These people died in faith. They died in faith. Look at the next verse. Of whom the world was not even worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not even receive the promise. And this is why. God having provided something better for you. The reason they in faith didn't get all they were waiting for is because God had a promise for you. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Process this. Please process what I'm telling you. The reason they didn't get their promises, God was waiting on you. God was waiting to give you faith. He was waiting to give you this gospel of the kingdom. He was waiting to give you something they wanted to see. They see it in glory. You're seeing it live, original, right here in front of you. You're seeing it come to your life, save you, redeem you, make you whole. You're seeing it being brought to your face. But the question is, where is your faith? Jesus gave the parable about the woman who went to the unjust judge, and after he said everything else, he said, surely God will deliver his people. But when Jesus shows up, will he find faith? That was his question. When I show up, will I find faith in the earth? Am I going to find faith? Am I going to find a people who are ready? Am I going to find people ready to believe, ready to receive, ready to walk in what God has for me? Am I going to find a people who are inspired by the word of God enough to step into the things that God's called them to? Am I going to find people who are ready to be a real Christian? Now, when I say real, I'm not trying to insult us. I'm saying that there's a deeper dimension that we haven't gone to. I'm saying that there's more that we haven't embraced. There's more that we haven't received. There's more we haven't fully pushed ourselves into. And God wants to give it to us. All he wants us to do is to turn our faith. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready today to turn my faith for all that God wants for me. Listen, we prayed for our new members four things, and we're praying it for everybody. It's the same thing. We got to know him better. We got to know Jesus in his resurrection power and the fellowship of his suffering. We want to know him that way. We want to know him so well. We want to know how to get free of issues and challenges and bondage, break free from indebtedness, break free from discouragement, break free from the things that the enemy's trying to bring us, break free from the spirits that want to try to hold us in bondage, want to compromise who we can be. God wants to set us free from those things. God wants us to take the limits off of him, because him taking limits off of him, we're taking limits off of us. God wants us to be able to move into a new place. He wants us to be able to not be afraid of the adversary. Not be afraid of the enemy. But to receive the gospel. Receive it. Receive it. Receive the gospel. Receive it to your spirit. Receive it for the fullness. Receive it. Say, God, I want everything you have for me. But if he tells you, then take off that old shroud you have on. And take it off. God, I want everything you have for me. He said, well, you're going to have to let go of this thing over here and let it go. God, but you don't understand what I've been going through. Son, I've been with you the whole way. I know where you've been. Hallelujah. Guess what? I was in there with you, boy. Come on now. I know what you've been through. I know. And I know the plans that I have for you and the thoughts for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And this whole word is talking to us, confirming and telling us God wants more for us. But in this world, you're going to have tribulations. Tribulation's going to come. Doesn't make a difference. Tribulation's coming. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Woo! Come on now. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet for me, please. Hallelujah. Woo! Jasmine, would you bring that last passage, the very last verse, up for me one more time? God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. God's got something better. I need you to say, God has something better for me than he had for Abraham. God has something better for me than he had for Joshua. God has something better for me than he had for Isaac and Jacob. than he had for Moses, than he had for Samson, that he had for any of the prophets of old. Ooh, hallelujah. Can you receive that? Can you receive that? The Bible says that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs. And when I process and I think about things, I understand that, man, I know that's true. Because I look at the griefs that Jesus bore for me. Man, I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad that even though I lived a life of grief, my children grew up in a house of joy.
Amen.
Because, well, why? Because God is good, man.
Yes, he is.
Because God is good. Woo! I praise God that all the flaws and faults of my ancestors, God told me, son, you can walk right out of them. You can walk out of generational curses, curses that have gone generation to generation. All this genealogy study I'm looking at, man, I see all the crazy stuff in the generations. Praise the Lord for his freedom for me to be able to say, here's the line of salvation. Whoa! Here's the line right here. And son, if you step across the line in faith, you can leave everything else behind you. Man. How awesome is that? How awesome of it is being able to say, I know my history. I know my faults, my flaws. I know the things that have happened in my life. I know the things that I've been disappointed about. And I'm going to draw a line today. And I'm going to step into the gospel. And when I step in, God has covered me. Wow. And all he says is just, son, I just need you to take that faith you got. All that faith you had in that problem to stay with you, I need you to turn it and turn that faith to be me taking you out. You can't do anything without believing something. You can't walk forward without believing that the ground is there. You don't think about it, but your faith says the ground is there, and you step based on your understanding. And you know what the evidence is? If you were walking somewhere and the ground disappeared, you would not take a step. Because your faith right now is based on what you see. But God said, I'm trying to give you a new faith that's not based on seeing things. I'm trying to take your faith and turn it to the unseen so that you can say to the mountain that you see, move. And it will move for you. Let's lift our hands to God in faith. And whatever you need to overcome by faith today, I want you to put it under your feet by faith. I want you to receive this simple gospel. You were born flawed. God sees you. Every flaw you have, God sees it. The one you woke up in the mirror this morning and tried to cover it up, he saw it. And when he saw it, he said, you know what? I see it and I know you don't have power over it. You can't stop its impact. You can't stop what it does. You can't stop any of that. And then he says, I love you. He says, I love you. And I love you so much, it's okay. Because I got something to take care of that. What I have, you can't see it right now. But my voice is telling you, it's here. My voice is assuring you that it's here. I just need you to believe. I need you to believe I love you enough to pull this pain away from you. I need you to believe that I will accept you. I need you to believe I see you and I accept you. I won't throw you out. My love is here to deal with the wounds, with the pain, with that feeling. That feeling that has you not wanting to live. I don't worry. I have it. I got you. Woo. Glory to God. With your questions, with your confusion, I have you. I have you. It's okay. It's okay. I got you. See, I need you to receive that right now. I need you to just receive God's goodness, God's mercy for you right now. Just receive it. Just receive it. You will never earn it. You will never deserve it. You can't access it anyway, but just saying, I receive it. Woo! I receive it. As you receive, I want you to receive the fact that all you had to do was receive it, and now he says, you're mine now. You're mine. I accept you as a son. I accept you as a daughter.
Praise God and thanks for listening. Today's message was titled Entrusted with the Gospel Part 2. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, please feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church, an events calendar, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, that site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.